Good morning. Am I speaking to Mr. Stephen Cuthbert? Hey, Stephen, is now a better time? This is Mike McHale. Do you still got a few things on your plate, Steve?
Okay for now.
Okay. I promise I'll be as quick as I can. I'll try to be as concise as possible. So, Steve, I'm just curious. I'm just trying to find like the background story and to create like a good story. For when Scott came in and did all the training for your program. So, just what's your job title and how many people do you work under you, Steve?
Right now, I'm the general manager with the Development Corporation. When I had Scott come in, I was working with the First Nation, though. I was the SAO, the Senior Administrative Officer.
Are you First Nation yourself, Steve?
Yes.
Oh, very cool. And what were some of the challenges that you were facing that you wanted resolved and changed?
Well, for the community, I was hoping that we could try and find some funding to get Scott to come to the community. And, like, he had done some work with the First Nation to try and get people to work together. And so when he came in, I think there's maybe about 16 people or so that sat in the sessions there, and we were trying to get everybody in the office to kind of work a little better together. And I thought, like, this would work well, like, if we did the whole thing for the community. And because the community's made up of different groups, there's First Nation, there's Métis, there's other people that are working here as well. And so, like, we accessed some funding under the First Nations to get them to come and work at the band office. And it would be nice if we could find something where we can come in and do work, like, with the whole community. So it wouldn't matter whether you're First Nation or Métis. And there's a lot of, I think, problems here in the community. So I think it would really help for him to come and basically talk to some of the people here.
What are some of the problems that you see, like off the top of your head? What are the some of the ones that stand out the most?
Like, for the kids, like, I think there's, like, some of the bullying stuff in school. I think maybe talking about, like, suicide prevention and stuff with some of the kids.
Is that a big challenge for you guys? Suicide attempts
Well,
and ideations and things like that.
I think there are problems here because, like, my daughter used to go to that school, and she would have problems with other kids, like, and people bullying and stuff like that. She's moved now to BC, so she's in a different school, but I know the problems are still there because I'm still hearing some of the parents talk about the same things. Like, in the Northwest Territories, there's a lot of people that are, like, you'll have the paper every other week almost, and you're seeing somebody, or maybe every month or so, maybe that there's young people committing suicide.
Oh my
And I
gosh.
thought that's something that they could talk to the kids about. And then for the parents, like, I mean, maybe with some of the addictions here, like with alcohol, drugs, and I'm not sure, maybe gambling too. Some of those things, maybe I was hoping he could talk about.
And what did you bring Scott in initially for? When he first came in.
For the team building, like, for I'm just trying to think what we called it. It was basically to get the workers in the office to try and work together.
And what was it like before? Like, what were the challenges?
Well, you just weren't really getting a lot of cooperation sometimes. So after he left, like, it seemed like there was more of a team thing.
And forgive me for trying to find specifics, because I know these are common challenges for many First Nation communities. Was it things like gossiping, complaining, toxic relationships, a lack of communication? Are these some of the challenges that people were facing?
I'd say quite a bit of that.
Was there strong leadership?
I think so. Yeah, it's been the same person. Like even back when Scott was here, it's still the same person, and most of the council is still the same. So I think, I think they'd like to see some change here too. Because as soon as you're, like, say, as soon as you get some work for some of the people, like some of them might work for 2 weeks and then they just start partying and stuff, and we never get them back as a worker. So some of those things would be nice to try and talk to the people to see if we can fix some of those things.
Yeah, have people be accountable for results. And what changes happened after Scott came the first time? Like, what did you see different in your staff that wasn't there before?
Well, the gossiping and stuff, that kind of stopped a bit. Like, I mean, there wasn't people talking about other people here at work, and it just seemed like everybody's working a little bit better together. Like, they were still trying to meet to look at these. We had to try and be accountable to the little groups that we had made up. And so that seemed to work good, where the people are coming back to the groups and saying, okay, well, they're trying to cut down on smoking or one of these things, and then you've got a group that you're kind of being accountable to. So I think that worked well.
And what results did you get for yourself, like personally? Were you part of the program? And what kind of results?
I was just became more aware of some of the things.
And what kind of leadership skills did you take away that you started to apply or that you're able to apply?
I'm not really sure. I've moved like over to the Development Corp from the First Nation, and they kind of moved away from that one position there.
Did you, was there an addiction problem going on with with the staff there as well?
For some of the people, yeah, it seems like for some of the things, it seems like there's still some issues, I guess, with the people.
And did things get better after the program, or like what did things look like after Scott left? Yeah, it's been quite some time. And are there some, I guess, key families that you really wanna impact and make a difference with that you think really need like some help?
I think there's a lot of people, like a lot of families here that would be open to talking with Scott. Like there's some people that probably don't want him at all, and I think that the people that are more interested in doing that, I think they're the ones that might be affected by him coming to speak with everybody. They're probably more open to change than some of the people that just want to shut it out and not hear anything. But
Absolutely.
then I think from the other people changing, I think you're going to maybe have some of those people that didn't listen to begin with. Maybe if Scott were to come back like again for a second visit, just like a refresher sort of, I think maybe some of those people would be coming to hear because they're seeing what good things are happening with the first group.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing. We were up in Pick River and Pickamobert in Marathon in Northern Ontario, and we had a huge turnout in Pick River with the community coming out because we didn't advertise it as an addiction talk or we're not trying to fix anybody. And we found a lot of community members that normally wouldn't show up, they showed up, and it was pretty incredible. So.
Yeah, I remember seeing something there, like that he was going there. I remember seeing just when he was about to go there, I think on Facebook or one of those sites. But I'd never seen what you guys did there. But I remember seeing that he was there.
Yeah, we were working with youth and addictions, and the community wanted to bring us back for the adults, but we were just exclusively working with the youth.
And that's probably a good place here too, because the youth, they're just going to grow up and follow in their parents' footsteps and the grandparents. Because a lot of the older people, they might not change at all. Like the elders, it seems like more the middle group than the youth, but it would be better.
And just before I go, Steve, what are two of the biggest things that you'd like to see changed in the entire community if Scott could come in and work with everybody in the community?
I just think that part about everybody kind of working together, because you've got all these different groups, a lot of times you've got the one group competing against the other group, and really, like, we're all here for the same thing, is to have something better for the kids in the future and stuff. And so, when you're putting the First Nation against the Métis and the Métis against, like, different groups, like, it's not really working that well. Like when you go home at night and some of the families are maybe the husband is the First Nation and the wife is a Métis, and like you're seeing that division even at home. So it'd be nice if we could kind of get the groups to work a little bit more together than try and work against each other.
Yeah.
It's all one community, and it would make more sense, like, if everybody's working together instead of everybody just kind of arguing and fighting. So that one thing, it would be nice if you could get the people working together, and then maybe with some of the addiction problems, maybe to get some of the people to work toward stopping some of the habits and stuff that they're doing.
And
There
you.
is, like, people here in the community that community wellness workers, but quite often the people aren't going to visit them and then really talk with them. But maybe afterwards they might be more interested in doing that.
Yeah, so you're having a hard time reaching the people who do need the work. And if we were to bring like our programs to the entire community, I know you gave us the contact of Linda Vandenberg. Would that be the person that we contact?
Yeah, and like when I talked to her, she sounded like it was more in the next fiscal year.
Okay, so after April, maybe.
Yeah, and the group that she's kind of working with is called the Community Readiness Committee. And so this committee, they're going to make recommendations on, say, the top 10 things that they want to do for the community to try and get them ready to get working or get into business and stuff. So they're looking at the top 10 barriers for people to get work. And so with those top 10 barriers, then they're going to try and figure out how they can try and break down those barriers. And I think, well, some of those barriers are like what I think Scott can help with.
Yeah, do you have, can you name a few off the top of your head? Do you know kind of what they mean by that?
Well, like, okay, the example, criminal records check. Like, this isn't one that Scott can help with, but like, that's a barrier for somebody to get work,
Yeah.
is they might have a charge from 8 years ago or 10 years ago that's still kind of holding them off from getting work, so that maybe the group can have a workshop where they work on everybody trying to get a pardon, and that would remove that barrier. So these, like, and again, the part with the drugs and alcohol, like, that's also a barrier. And so a lot of times the people can't get a job out of the mines, like, say, if they're smoking or doing that kind of stuff, then they're not going to get the chance to go work out of the mine.
Yeah.
So if we could kind of get rid of some of those barriers, then there'd be a lot more people that would be able to work out there. Like, right now they're kind of running out of people to go work at these mines. And there's a lot of people here, but for one reason or another, they're not getting selected to go out there.
That's
So we're
where.
trying to get rid of like all the things that are stopping them from getting out there, and that's what that group is supposed to work towards, so that they're supposed to, like, say, if it's identified that they want to work on addictions or something, then they get the government to kind of force the funding from them for them, like, on behalf of the whole community, so that group can maybe talk to the health and social services, like, for the Northwest Territories, and get funding from them to cover like a workshop like that.
Right. In the spirit of getting more employment, like working with addictions, is that what you mean? Okay.
And then, so that group, like, they would make a recommendation, and then a recommendation they would try and get some funding for that, and the government's committed to providing funding under whatever area that they're recommending or making recommendations for. So I think it's a good the group. I think it's a good thing, and I brought up a couple points when I was in there. Like, some of the things, like, one of them was, the guys need maybe a little bit more just to get their foot in the door so they can get into a training program. Like, if they're not quite up to a level where they can get into the training program. So that would be one of the barriers. And so we're thinking, if we could get the people up to the minimum requirements, then at least they can start that training.
What does that mean?
Because
Like
some of
minimum requirements is like physical fitness, or is it reading and writing?
like reading and writing. Some of them might only have a grade 9, and they might need a grade 10 to start a trades program. So if we can bring them up to that level, then they can get into carpentry or heavy equipment operator for one of the other courses. Because some of these people might be, know, in their 30s and just dropped out of school and just haven't finished any more of the school. But yet there's work for them, but I mean, they just need that little bit more to get them in the door. Because some of the mining companies are willing to pay for the training, but you have to meet a minimum requirement to get to be able to do that.
And do the mining companies ever sponsor addiction programs or anything for the community?
Well, they haven't in the past, but I think they're kind of open to that type of. They would consider funding that, because we just met with one of the diamond mines here a couple months ago, and I got the one girl's card, and they would consider funding something like that, or being a, you know, 50% funder for something like that. Because it's going to be for their benefit too, because if they can get some more workers from here, then that's good for the mine as well. And then they can also put it under their PR that they're doing this program to help this community, and it looks good for the diamond mine.
Would we be able to contact this woman by any chance?
Yeah, I can.
Just to see what's possible.
Okay. This is. Should I give you just an email here?
Yeah, if you give me an email, if she has a phone number, that'd be great. Maybe I'd call her.
Okay, 867.
867.
669.
669.
6147.
6147.
And that's, okay, this is probably kind of hard to pronounce. I'm not even sure. It says Aura Naja Washi.
Laura?
Okay, so I'll just spell it out. O-R-A.
O-R-A.
Dash M-A-J-A.
M-A-J-A.
That looks like Aura Naja or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last name is Washi, so it's W-A-H.
W-A-H.
S-H-E-E.
S-H-E-E.
And she's the team leader for community development for the Akati Diamond Mine. They're Dominion Diamonds, I guess, the name of the company.
That's awesome. That's great. Maybe we can create something. If we can work all sorts of facets in your community and have the mine be involved as well, I think that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I haven't any of this stuff, but that's the one that gave me your card for at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm. And what were your impressions of Scott when you met him? I know he's a pretty outgoing guy, but what did you what were some of the things that struck you as pretty incredible about him?
Yeah, he's kind of been through all the stuff that he's been through, and still still keep plugging away at this.
Yeah. His tenacity.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I like when I see him, I kind of think of that my brother would kind of do this kind of stuff, but talking with my brother, he just says he's not interested in that kind of stuff. But that's what I kind of see as you know, my brother used to speak at some of these group things, like down in the south.
Is your brother in the Northwest Territories with you?
No, my brother he lives in British Columbia.
Okay.
But I think he speaks at some of these groups, like at an AA or some sort of meeting. He does regular talks. bit, but I mean, and I think it's good what Scott's doing, and it'd be good to keep helping him to work with the First Nations as well.
Mm.
Because there's a lot of work that he could be doing with the First Nation.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully, Steve, if you don't, if I can have your permission, if I could kind of take some of what you said, I took some notes on what you said, and if I could put into maybe kind of like a case study, because we want to kind of send a fax to all First Nations in Canada, and I think your story would be really great to kind of add to it. So I wouldn't send anything without your permission. I'd have you approve it first. It'll be like a short paragraph at most. Would that be all right?
Sure, that sounds really good.
And hopefully we can do some work. If I can speak to Ora Maja, we'll see if we can have the mine on our side.
It would be nice, yeah, even if they could provide some funding. Because then, if you can show the government that you've got some funding, then they're a little bit more interested in matching that funding.
Yeah, exactly. It's harder to get something off the ground. It's better to start somewhere.
They like to see where there's multiple partners in it, so they're more likely to approve it if they see that.
Mm. Stephen, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate everything. I don't have any more questions for you. And just thank you for spending the time with me. I know you're a busy guy, and I appreciate that.
It's not a problem. I think what you guys are doing is good.
Thanks, Steve. And I'll update you after I have a conversation with Ora Maja.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. Take care, my friend. Have an amazing week.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye, Steve.